Good morning. So queued up today for you, I've got an article about Governor Sylvester Pennoyer. Not too long ago, when Sarah Palin was governor of Alaska, there was a bumper sticker out that said "Coldest State, Hottest Governor." I think if we were going to answer that here in Oregon, we'd have a sticker that said "Nuttiest Governor." I'm not sure what the description of the state would be, although I guess I wouldn't take "nutty" as an insult. But Governor Sylvester Pennoyer really was nuts, an irascible populist. Actually, he was also kind of a dork. He was an unapologetic racist, but by far he was the most colorful chief executive we've ever had here in the Beaver State. So I'll tell you all about him this morning in just a minute. First of all, though, my name's Finn J.D. John, and it's Friday, May 18th, and you're listening to me reading you a column from the archives of the weekly newspaper column I write, Offbeat Oregon History. I do this every day, and of course, if you're subscribed to this podcast, you know that. And if you're not subscribed to it and like to know a little bit more about it, stay tuned or check it out on offbeatoregon.com. Or, as I just learned, you can search for Oregon under podcasts on iTunes, and it'll pop up at like number 5. And by the way, if you do find it on iTunes, if you would take just a half a second and write a review of it, that would be wonderful. It's a pretty important process for getting noticed for small podcasts like this. So today's column ran in the papers on August 1st, 2010, under the headline "Oregon Governor to United States President: Drop Dead." Here we go. If there were a category in the Guinness Book of World Records for the state with the crankiest former governor, Oregon would surely hold the title. The state would have clinched the record in 1886 when it elected Sylvester Pennoyer. And Pennoyer would have clinched it 7 years later with a telegram he sent off to the President of the United States of America, telling him, in essentially, to mind his own damn business. His precise words: "Washington, I will attend to my business. Let the President attend to his. Sylvester Pennoyer, Governor of Oregon." This telegram was in response to a note from the President, Grover Cleveland, urging Western governors to take steps to make sure that no Chinese people got hurt in riots or demonstrations following the passage of the Chinese Exclusion Act, or the renewal of the act, rather. The President had sent the same telegram to the governors of Idaho and California and gotten very different replies. Washington wasn't a state yet. But then Pennoyer was no friend to the Chinese, or any other ethnic minority either, for that matter. In fact, he owed his governorship to an incident in 1886 in which he and a mob of workers crashed an outdoor meeting being held by the mayor of Portland and turned it into a loud, rowdy, anti-Chinese demonstration. He was also, 25 years after the Civil War, an advocate of slavery. He was also an advocate for workers' rights, which might have seemed odd. He was a lumber baron who regularly wore very formal suits with swallowtail coats and carried himself stiffly like an aristocrat. But shortly after he took office, Oregon became the first state in the Union to declare Labor Day a holiday. He also refused to call out the state militia after railroad workers in Albany formed an angry mob in response to their employer's decision that maybe they didn't need to be paid after all. If they got their paychecks and rioted anyway, he told the railroad managers, he'd call out the militia, but otherwise he'd just let nature take its course. The workers got paid. What he was most famous for, though, was snubbing presidents. In addition to the famous telegram, his exploits included the following. Item: declaring a different date for Thanksgiving in Oregon after then-President Cleveland set one for the nation in 1894. Oregonians apparently had two Thanksgivings that year. Item: refusing to leave Salem to welcome the President of the United States, that would be Cleveland's predecessor, Benjamin Harrison, when the nation's leader arrived in Oregon on a railroad tour in 1891. Quote, "I have no business to pay homage to him," Pennoyer told a reporter from a newspaper at the time. "On the contrary, when he visits Oregon, he should rather pay his respects to me." Pennoyer subsequently relented and agreed to leave the Capitol building to drive to meet Harrison at the Salem train depot, where he kept the commander-in-chief and a large crowd of onlookers waiting in the rain and arrived 10 minutes late in an outrageously showy carriage drawn by 4 white horses. Item: refusing to let the Oregon Democratic Party use the official state cannon to fire a salute in celebration of Cleveland's inauguration in 1893. Pennoyer had just left the Democratic Party to become the second populist party governor in history. in U.S. history, that is not Oregon history. He's the first in Oregon history. Quote, no permission will be given to use the state cannon for firing a salute over the inauguration of a Wall Street plutocrat as president of the United States, he said, and locked the thing up under armed guard. The Democrats won this standoff by their wits. They forged a court order commanding the sheriff to confiscate the cannon as collateral for the payment of an imaginary unpaid blacksmith bill of $10, and then got it from him and fired the salute. Item, officially calling for the impeachment of Cleveland in 1893. That's it. But really, I guess that's enough. Pennoyer's cantankerousness earned him the nickname Sylpester Annoyer from pioneer judge Matthew Deedy, and the way that he acquired that nickname was a bit interesting. Deedy had done a lot of work on the Bull Run Watershed Project because Portland was getting its water out of the Willamette River, and of course Portland lives downstream from everybody, so they were getting some pretty nasty water out of there. Pennoyer, when the bill came up in the legislature, vetoed it, claiming that the Bull Run Watershed water, because it originated in glacier runoff, would, quote, cause goiter in the fair sex of Portland. Of course, the Willamette River water would cause more than goiter in the fair sex of Portland, and probably in the unfair sex, too. It would cause stuff like cholera and, well, just horrible things. Deedy was really upset by this because he'd done a lot of work on this project, and he wrote in his diary that Pennoyer ought to be called Sylpester Annoyer. Very ironically, when Pennoyer was the mayor of Portland several years later, he actually had to preside over the opening of the Bull Run Watershed, and when it called upon to take the first ceremonial sip, took a sip of it, set it down, and said something along the lines of, no flavor, no body, give me the old Willamette. Well, presumably you don't really want flavor and body in your municipal water supply, so not really sure whether this was supposed to be a left-hand grudging compliment or whether he was serious. You never knew with Mr. Pennoyer. Pennoyer also became a nemesis to Harvey Scott, editor of the Portland Oregonian, who took to referring to him in editorials as his eccentricity. For a time, there was talk about running him on a presidential ticket, but that talk died instantly after the cannon incident. In Oregon, though, Pennoyer was still hugely popular. After two terms as governor, he went on to become mayor of Portland. Pennoyer set the tone in ways both good and bad for politics in Oregon for decades. In the early 1900s, Oregon would become known as a land of crotchety mavericks, proudly libertarian and frankly populist, friendly to workers so long as they were of Northern European descent, with a sometimes slippery interpretation of the rule of law. You'll still hear echoes of that spirit in Salem to this day. Well, that's it for today. You've been listening to an Offbeat Oregon History Archive column, and if you'd like more, you can read hundreds more of these from the last 4 years on our website, offbeatoregon.com, where you can also subscribe to these, get these podcasts delivered straight to your smartphone every day via RSS or iTunes, or join the conversation on the Facebook page or Twitter feed from links on the page. This column's covered under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license, and if you're ever up in Corvallis and have time for a cup of something, please look me up. I love geeking out with fellow history buffs, especially when there's coffee and or good Irish stout involved. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, @offbeatoregon. One more thing. My book is coming out on June 5th. It's called Wicked Portland, The Wild and Lusty Underworld of a Frontier Seaport Town. Governor Sylvester Pennoyer is most definitely in it, along with some other really nutty Portland mayors. If you enjoy this podcast, chances are pretty good that you'll like it, and I'd like to invite you to take a look. The website's up. It's at wickedportland.com, wicked-portland.com, that is. There's a sort of a secret link, I guess you could say, that you can find. If you go to the website and look in the header, there's a little cameo picture of James Lapius, the first chief of police of Portland, and if you click that, it'll take you to the Lost Chapter, which tells the story of the temperance riots of 1874, which are actually a really good story. That's it for today. Have a great day.